Hello and welcome everybody to the first official episode of Discovering Delight, the podcast. My name is Sia and yeah, we are here to have a good time. So for this episode, I want to talk about something that had me feeling very delighted in the past couple of weeks. Like, I think it was like the first week of the year, right? It was a book. It's a book. So I'm going to share my thoughts on this book and let you guys know why I like this book, because it made me so happy and it made me feel really good inside. But before we get into that, at the end of last year, right, people on the timeline were talking about how many books they read over the year and like what their book or reading goals are for this year, right? And people had crazy numbers in there, but I love that for them. Like, some people were like 150 books, like 200 books, and great. My book goal for the year is 52 books. My goal is to read a book a week, and not all of them have to be like literary geniuses. Some of them have to just be like silly reads, and I try to incorporate a whole lot of like different genres in my reading. I do nonfiction and fiction books. I do like plays and I do like poetry. I try to be very well-rounded in what I'm reading. But what I will not do voluntarily is read self-help books. Like, I think, nah, those are not my gig. I can do silly, stupid romance, and I draw the line at self-help. I think we don't need any more self-help books. Like, let's just read what's already there and actually figure out if it's helping, you know? But yeah, and I think there's great power in like fiction and non-fiction stories that is very self-helpy for me. I love that form of like escapism. I love that form of like marvel in other people's stories versus just like the technicalities of self-help books. I feel like they tend to say the same things over and over again, and or they just state the obvious. So yeah, let me not ramble about that. But the book that had me feeling all mushy and great while I was down bad, I think the first week of the year, I was just very under. Yeah, a lot was happening and I was having like a depressive episode, and I was just in bed the entire week and I was just reading. And also another thing was that on the 1st of January, someone on Twitter said they had finished a book. They finished their first book for the year, and people were dragging that person. Like, you can't finish a book in a day. And to be quite honest, I finished this book in a day. It's about 400 and something pages, and I got through it because it was quite an easy read, to be quite honest. It's not that deep. So the book that I'm talking about is Honey and Spice by Bolu Babalola. I hope I'm pronouncing that correctly. She's a Nigerian UK based writer, author, and one of her other books, which is Love in Color, was the first book I read by her. I think she only has these two books. I read Love in Color like a few years ago, and my bestie Cynthia got me this copy of Honey and Spice, and one of my friends Nomfundo said they tried to make it too contemporary and she didn't like it, and it just felt like she was reading the timeline. And that was so funny. She told me this before I read the book, so I had that conception of the book when I started. I didn't really expect much from it. The main character is Kiki, who is a university student in somewhere in London. I don't remember where, but somewhere in London. And she is, I think she was like in her second or third year of university, and a new guy comes to school and he's hot, he's all the great things. And Kiki's the best in her class, in her classes, and she has a radio show. Actually, the Kiki reminded me so much of me in college. I think that's also another thing, another reason why I liked her. The story of a girl who has a radio show on campus, as a black girl, and she loves to talk about music, you know, like on the show, and she's very manna trashy, like let's play them, you know, type of thing. So her radio show is basically about like telling the sisters, the girls, to like up their game and play these men like they play them, you know. So there were some similarities between Kiki's character and my college self. I think that was the first thing that kind of like drew me to this storyline. And then secondly, it was the fact that it was just like a cute little romantic thing, man. This guy comes to campus, he's new, he's the hot boy in the block, you know, like everyone is like interested in him, he's a flirt, but he's also very like mature and self-aware, and he's also like an immigrant, he has Nigerian roots as well, and you know, he's also into film and documentary storytelling, and they get matched up together by one of their professors who was like, Kiki, I want to recommend you for like a study abroad kind of program, however you need to increase the listenership and add more variety to your show, you know, and make it a bit more inclusive, and I'm gonna pair you with this other student who has a project that he also wants to work on that you may assist him with, because you guys are both into like different forms of media storytelling, and yeah, you guys can just help each other out. And I think bringing him along and figuring out what to do with him on your show will be good for your audience, and it will raise your numbers, right? So that you can have a good shot at this study abroad program in New York that I really want to put your name forward for. So they get together, and then, you know, they decide to pretend date, kind of get into a fake relationship for the purpose of the radio show. However, they then grow feelings towards each other. It's a very predictable storyline. But then they also have this big blow up, and then they have this big makeup situation. And I just think I liked the book, although it wasn't like something genius or whatever. It's very predictable, just like any other rom-com that you have ever watched. But the infusion of like culture, the infusion of music in the story, everything, like his favorite song was When We Get by D'Angelo. Tell me that is not my type of man. A man that listens to D'Angelo is like, love you babes. So yeah, I was just very much drawn to the characters, and I thought it was cute. And not every read is supposed to be like deep and profound, you know, like I delight in the silly little stories because they tap into like just a very common human feeling, like the story of love. Who doesn't love love? Who doesn't want people who are compatible to end up together? Who is not seeking companionship? So I felt like it was a very like cute little read to start off the year and start off my reading streak. And yeah, that's just one thing that I wanted to share, that kind of had me feeling some joy over the past couple of weeks. And the same way that I like these stupid corny romance novels is the same way I like silly little romance reality TV, right? Love Island just started this week, and I'm excited. I'm over the moon because that's my stupid, corny show, right? It's something that I love to binge. I've watched every season of Love Island UK specifically. I don't really take into like Love Island Australia, the Love Island USA. I think they just don't have that sauce. I don't know what it is about Love Island UK that has me just so drawn to it, and the characters and the people that go on there. But that kind of like escapism is so good for me, and in moments where I feel down, or like in moments where I just like the world is overwhelming, I just want to watch my stupid shows, right? And specifically reality TV shows that about people trying to find love, because to be quite honest, finding love is hard. Like when we start to deep it, it's very hard to find true, genuine connection. And we are all low-key seeking it. Even those that are not vocal about wanting it, or that are not vocal about longing for that kind of connection, I feel like they secretly are. And so it's just a universal thing that we can all connect to, that like we are just people who want to be seen and loved by other people at the end of the day. And it's quite entertaining to watch other people go through the process of trying to find their partners or their lovers and whatever, and also seeing the upside and the downsides of that, because it kind of like connects us all, that like we've all experienced heartbreak, you know, we've all experienced pain, we've all loved and we've all lost. And that's kind of like just the basis, I feel, of life, that like we can relate to each other just on that level, even if we don't like the same things, even if like personality wise we are not the same people. We can still connect on that just little fact that like we've all loved and we've all lost, and we've all loved someone who couldn't love us back. We've all tried to negotiate our value and worth in relationships and failed and realized that no, you're not supposed to negotiate, you're supposed to, you know, like there's all these things, there's all these lessons learned, and it's just nice to watch people go through that process and be on the sidelines, because sometimes it's just, it's nicer when it's not you. You get to comment, you get to have opinions on people's situations, because it's not your life, and you are not the one going through it, and you get to have like a different POV than if you were in that situation. And I just also just like them for the fact that I like a happy ending. I think I watch them also not to sit there and judge people and like, you know, criticize and have opinions on other people's situations, but it's just more so because I also love a happy ending. Another reason why I love watching Love is Blind, although we've seen that love indeed is not blind, we still tune in and we watch for the mess, but also to see who ends up together, you know, and to see who ends up prospering, which is why we will, if you are Love is Blind stan, you know Cam and Lauren, so which is why we'll always refer to them as the OGs, because like they were in first season, they're still together, you know, we're watching them still be together, and it's just an incredible thing to see people have their happy ever after. And I think that's also the reason why I like this book, right? That like there was a happy ever after, and I love me a happy ever after in romance, because not everybody gets a happy ever after at the end of the day. Who knows if some of us will ever get it, but like it's just the idea of a happy ever after in love, of like swooning romance, you know, of like grand gestures, of the fairy tale kind of love that we also desire in one way or the other. It's kind of like entertaining for me. So yeah, I take delight in love, and I take delight in love stories in particular. I roll my eyes sometimes, I'm like, this is so corny, but I'm like, I love corniness in love. Like, let's be corny, babes. Like, just be soft, be mushy, be everything and more, because this is the thing that you so desire. So yeah, I think I have talked enough in this first episode about my little pocket of joy that I felt in this book. And I will be talking to you guys pretty soon. And also, just before I go, I just want to remind you guys to hit 5 stars there. Like, just rate the podcast or give it a review. I want to actually have an interactive section of the show whereby I read some reviews at the start of every episode, or like some comments that you guys have shared. You guys can share what has brought you joy this week or what had brought you joy this year as we start the year. You can also just comment on something that I've said, but I do want us to have a conversation. So if you will allow me, like, or just indulge me, and leave a rating, give it 5 stars, because, you know, like, just have faith that this will eventually become a 5-star rated or rating worthy kind of show. You know, like, it's too soon to tell, but just have faith. But yeah, I enjoyed sharing this pocket of joy with you all, and we shall have many more to come. I don't want to keep these episodes too long, so I think 20 minutes is my sweet spot. Toodles and bye.